A Delta flight from Atlanta to Syracuse, a plane full of strangers, and a random burst of fake Wi-Fi hotspots, apparently the work of a DEFCON crowd. Security folks are calling it a test run for something much darker.
Wait, they planted hotspots on a commercial flight to mess with passengers?
They did, and it only works because a security researcher on board happened to notice. Now, airlines everywhere are quietly sweating.
Okay, I need to hear that story. But you said there's more.
Oh, way more. Amazon is backing a power plant that could become the single biggest source of climate pollution in the country. London Underground just started scanning faces, and Claude is watermarking its AI text.
Welcome back to Hot Reload. I'm Jamie, and this is Alex, your host for the week.
That's right. Strap in. Four stories that will make you question everything from your flight to your face.
Let's dig in.
So there's this quiet little announcement from Anthropic that doesn't have the drama of a flashy model launch, but it might actually matter more for how we read the internet.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What's the announcement?
Anthropic has signed the EU AI Act's Code of Practice on Transparency, and Claude is about to start watermarking all of its text and attaching digital signatures to files it generates. It's worldwide, not just EU.
Wait, so every piece of text Claude writes is going to have a secret mark baked in?
Exactly. But the bigger question, does this actually expose deepfakes or just give bad actors a roadmap for stripping tags off Let's Dig In?
So what's the timeline for this?
Any Claude model launched in the EU on or after August 2nd, 2026 will have machine-readable marking at launch. That's over a year away.
What happens to the models that exist right now?
That's the transition period. The law gives them time to retrofit older models, and they say they're working on adding marking to those pre-existing ones too.
So there's a window where new models are marked and old ones aren't. That could get confusing fast.
It's a staggered rollout, sure. They're being clear that content from older models might not carry a detectable mark.
If I can't tell if something is AI made, doesn't that defeat the purpose?
That's the biggest eyebrow raise. They openly admit a missing mark doesn't mean the content wasn't AI generated.
Hold on, that's the core of their own disclaimer.
Exactly. They list reasons: heavily edited text, paraphrasing, translation, or passages too short for a reliable signal.
So why bother with a watermark that comes with a maybe, maybe not asterisk?
It's a signal, not a verdict. Detection isn't conclusive proof. It tells you the content may have been processed by Claude, not that it definitely was created by it.
Okay, so how does the watermark actually work?
It's woven into the text itself at the model level, not a metadata header that gets stripped when you copy-paste into a Word doc.
So it travels when I copy and paste.
Right. It may persist through some light editing, but rewrite the whole thing, and you're effectively erasing the signal. Translate it, and it's gone.
What about files? You said they're signing those too.
Yes. When Claude generates a NotSphere Plan.chai DNG or JPG, it attaches signed provenance metadata using the C2PA open standard.
What is C2PA and why should I care?
It's a widely used industry standard for recording content provenance. If the signed metadata is present, you can detect whether the file has been tampered with since Claude processed it.
Ah, so it's a chain of custody for digital files.
Exactly. The difference between this image came from Claude and this image was modified after Claude made it.
That feels way more robust than the text watermark. Does that metadata stick with the file?
It sticks until someone strips it. Converting formats, resaving, screenshots, all of that can knock it right off. Third subpoint, the scale. This isn't just the Claude website.
Where does this actually apply?
Everywhere. Claude Platform, Claude Code, Claude Cowork, plus the API, so developers piping Claude into their own apps get marked output too.
Wait, so if I use Claude through some random startup's app, it's still marked?
That's the plan.
Okay, so Amazon, of all companies, is backing a natural gas power plant that could become the single biggest source of climate pollution in the entire US.
That's the report from the New York Times, yeah. Amazon is investing in this gas-burning plant in Pecos County, Texas, specifically to power a massive new AI data center, and the scale is genuinely staggering.
Hold on! Amazon co-founded the Climate Pledge. They promised net zero by 2040. How does this square with that?
It doesn't, on the surface. The plant would be allowed to release 33 million tons of CO2 a year under its permits. That's more planet-warming gases than any other power plant in the country.
Wait, seriously, more than everything else, that's record-breaking pollution.
Exactly, and this is becoming the norm for AI firms. Since Elon Musk's xAI started using gas turbines to power its Colossus data center last spring, there's been a rush to build these off-the-grid power plants. Amazon is just the biggest name to jump in now.
Off the grid, meaning they're not connected to the normal electricity network.
Right. Data centers need enormous amounts of electricity, and connecting to the grid can take years due to permitting. These companies don't want to wait, so they build their own gas plants right next to the data centers. It's faster, and they control everything.
And that speed is worth the massive pollution hit.
Absolutely. CleanView, the group that exposed Amazon's plan, said it best. Speed to power is all that developers care about. Bringing a data center online, even a few years early, could result in tens of billions in revenue. Any delay is money left on the table.
So purely a business decision. Amazon's CEO, Andy Jassy, says demand for AI is exploding, and they expect supply to lag demand well into 2027.
Yes, and here's where it gets absurd. Amazon told Ars that it believes in paying the full costs of powering our operations. They frame this as responsible because they're not straining the grid or raising electricity costs for Texas families. But they wouldn't answer questions about the pollution backlash.
So they'll talk utility bills, but not the fact this could be the largest single source of climate pollution in the US.
Exactly. And critics point out any spike clashes with Amazon's 2040 net zero commitment. Their spokesperson, Margaret Callahan, said something telling. The world looks different now than when we co-founded the Climate Pledge, basically signaling the goal may be flexible.
Convenient reinterpretation. How big is this thing physically?
The permits show 35 turbines generating up to 7.65 gigawatts, roughly enough to power millions of homes. And there's another plant in Pennsylvania they're also in talks with, 4.5 gigawatts.
So not dipping a toe, they're building the biggest gas plant in the country and eyeing another huge one. How are communities reacting?
Not well. The NAACP sued xAI in Mississippi over Musk's gas turbines, tracking how the count grew from 18 to 60 unpermitted turbines. And the Trump administration jumped in to back xAI, arguing citizens have no power to enforce the Clean Air Act themselves.
Okay, so I keep seeing headlines about the tube scanning faces, and I genuinely can't tell if this is a trial or something already live. What's actually happening?
It's real and it's happening now. Transport for London has quietly started rolling out facial recognition cameras across the underground. Not every station, but it's definitely live in a meaningful way.
And when you say facial recognition, we're not talking about a blurry CCTV camera someone checks after a crime, right? This is identifying you in real time.
Exactly. These aren't passive cameras. They're actively scanning faces, running them against databases, and flagging matches. We're not at the stage where it's tied to your Oyster card and deducting fares yet, but the infrastructure is there.
That's a big leap from, we have cameras for safety. What kicked this off now?
TfL says it's about tackling crime on the network. They've been testing quietly, and the trial has expanded beyond a handful of central London stations. The official line is catching people who commit serious offences.
But the cameras are scanning everyone, not just people on a watch list. So the system captures your face, even if you're just heading to work.
Correct. The algorithm looks at everyone. If you match a watch list, you get flagged. If you don't, your face is still processed and stored, at least temporarily. It's not a filter that ignores you.
Hold on, so they're running my face against a database of criminals, but they're also keeping a record of my face. Just because I walked past, that feels like two different things.
It is two different things, and that's the part privacy advocates are losing their minds about. The processing happens live, but data retention is the murky part. TfL hasn't clearly stated how long they keep images of people who aren't flagged.
So they're building a biometric map of Londoners' faces without a public vote on it.
Right. And the so what here is the scale. The London Underground carries over 1 billion passengers a year, a billion with a B. The trial only covers a handful of stations, but the potential scope is staggering.
Wait, seriously, 1 billion? That's essentially the entire population of Europe passing through those tunnels every year.
Exactly. So even scanning at 10 stations, the sample size is enormous, and the architecture is built to scale. You don't install this infrastructure if you're not planning to expand.
Okay, let's talk about the actual tech. Does TfL have the computing power to process a billion faces?
That's the clever part. They don't process every frame from every camera. They use edge computing in some cases, processing the face data on the camera unit itself before sending only relevant matches back to a central server. It's efficient, but it also means processing happens locally with less oversight.
So the cameras make the call about who to flag without a human in the loop.
For initial screening, yes, a human gets involved after a potential match, but the algorithm is the gatekeeper, and we've seen documented bias in these systems, especially false positives for people of color.
That worries me. It's not just surveillance. It's a system that might be bad at its job, but still has the power to stop you.
That's the double whammy, and TfL hasn't published any false positive data. They just say the trial is successful. The lack of transparency is the frustrating part. No independent audit happening as far as we know. So a plane full of hackers allegedly set up a fake Wi-Fi network mid-flight, and now the FBI is involved.
Wait, seriously, on an actual flight?
Delta flight 591, Las Vegas to Atlanta, right after DEF CON wrapped up. Tens of thousands of security researchers all in one city, and a bunch piled onto this one plane home.
And someone decided to test their skills on a captive audience at 35,000 feet.
That's the working theory, no arrests, but Atlanta's FBI field office confirmed they're investigating.
So what actually happened? The accounts I've seen are chaotic.
First detail came from ACARS Drama. They monitor air-to-ground messages planes broadcast. The pilots sent a message saying passengers from a cyber conference jammed the Wi-Fi and broadcast their own signal.
The pilots texted that from the plane.
Yeah, planes have their own messaging system, ACARS, text-based, decades old. So the most high-tech cyber incident happens, and the report goes out over a system from the 1970s.
Deeply funny. Okay, what did these passengers actually do?
Reddit posts suggest an evil twin attack, a fake hotspot named Delta Wi-Fi Fast that looked like the real thing. You connect, you hit a login page designed to harvest your credentials.
So they're phishing their fellow passengers at 30,000 feet.
Using a technique known for years. Not sophisticated because it's new, sophisticated because they pulled it off in a metal tube full of people.
How long did it go on?
Delta says the real Wi-Fi was knocked out about 30 minutes. Passengers saw the fake network, connected, some presumably entered information.
Wait, they actually jammed the real Wi-Fi too?
That's what the pilots reported. The attack did both, knocked out the legitimate network and replaced it with a trap.
How do you even jam a plane's Wi-Fi?
Technical details are thin. Jam could mean overpowering the signal or manipulating how devices connected, but the result was clear, real network down for half an hour.
And Delta's response?
They told Ars Technica an unauthorized network was present for a short time, not provided, operated, or supplied by them. They were quick to stress flight safety was never in question.
No aircraft systems affected.
Right, Wi-Fi on a plane is a cabin system, separate from avionics and navigation. This isn't someone trying to fly the plane, it's someone messing with the entertainment network. The real risk is to passengers' personal data.
Okay, hot takes. I'll go first. The Delta flight fake hotspot. That story is equal parts hilarious and terrifying.
Oh, absolutely. Tens of thousands of hackers, one plane, and someone thought, you know what this flight needs? A rogue access point.
Exactly. I mean, the FBI being involved over a mid-air phishing attempt is wild, but honestly, I'm more amazed it doesn't happen more often.
My hot take is on the London Underground face scanning, everyone's freaking out about privacy, but we hand this data over to our phones 100 times a day.
Hold on, that feels different. I choose to unlock my phone. I don't choose to be scanned just for taking the tube.
Fair, but here's the thing. TfL says it's for safety, and the data is stored locally and deleted. The trade-off is real, but so is the convenience.
I still think we need way more transparency before we normalize this. One bad rollout, and there's no putting that genie back in the bottle.
That's fair. And honestly, that's kind of my take on the Amazon power plant too. It's a massive bet that feels short-sighted.
Right, Amazon, the company with the climate pledge, backing the potential single biggest source of US climate pollution. That's a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah, but let's be real, they need the energy for those data centers, and gas is the cheapest bridge. It's cynical, but it's business.
Still feels like they could have led with more renewables. But hey, at least Claude is trying to be transparent about AI content.
Huh, small victories. All right, let's wrap this up.
Today we covered Anthropic signing the EU's AI code of practice to watermark AI content, Amazon's controversial gas plant bet in Texas, face scanning on the London Underground, and that shady Wi-Fi stunt on a DEF CON flight.
Four very different stories, but they all remind us that tech is never just ones and zeros, it's policy, power, and people.
Well said. Thanks so much for listening to Hot Reload. If you enjoyed this one, please hit subscribe, drop us a review, and share it with a friend.
It genuinely helps us out more than, you know. We'll be back soon with more stories from the edge of tech. Until then, stay curious.
and stay off unsecured Wi-Fi. See you next time.
Ha, definitely that. Take care, everyone.